This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Thank you for downloading this Cook the Perfect podcast. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Now, if you cowered under the duvet a little longer than usual this morning, only too aware of the approaching winter, you won't need telling. It's high time to start making soup. Pumpkin soup is on the menu this morning, and our advice comes from the very highest culinary authority, Heston Blumenthal, molecular gastrostar and slight food wonk by his own admission. Now, you'll know about the culinary wonders at his Fat Duck in Berkshire, or about the snail porridge and the bacon and egg ice cream. But can he do it where it really counts, here with Cook the Perfect Pumpkin Soup? Good morning, Heston.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, I'm all right. Better than you, because you're got a man cold.
I haven't got a man cold. I've got Himalayan mountain flu.
Okay, pumpkin soup.
Yes.
You've just blown your nose, so we've got rid of that. That's been done. How can you tell, first of all, when the pumpkin is ripe and suitable for soup making?
I think it depends on the pumpkin. Obviously Halloween time, the classic ones, the big pumpkins,
the giant ones, segments.
Yes,
yeah.
So generally, sort of darker colours are better. If you can't get that, butternut squash can work really well.
So that they are completely, they're the same, essentially, for the soup?
Yes, the butternut squash will be a bit sweeter, and also something that's available more of the year round anyway. And then it's really, for me, it's about bringing out the pumpkin flavour and the sweetness of the pumpkin, which is why for this recipe for the soup, you split the pumpkin in half and you roast half of it, and you gently cook the other half with the onions.
Now, we should say, of course, that the exact recipe is already on the Woman's Hour website, bbc.co.uk/radio4/Woman's Hour. It's not easy, actually, to peel the pumpkin. Do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, the best thing to do is basically cut it into pieces, especially if you're using one of the big pumpkins.
Yeah.
It can be a big pain in the butt to cut. Have a sharp knife. Believe it or not, it's more dangerous using a blunt knife, because if it slips off, you can still cut yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get to a point where you get a manageable piece. Use the knife. Don't try and peel a pumpkin, one of those pumpkins with a potato peeler, because
you'll
be there for weeks. It'll be Christmas time before you're ready to eat your Halloween soup.
You can have it on Christmas Eve. Yeah. It'd be very nice. The mandolin is something that you recommend in this particular recipe. I mean, is that necessary? This is a slicing implement, isn't it?
Again, you don't have to use a mandolin. It's just that generally when you're making soups, especially with vegetable soups, you want to keep there's an element of freshness to the vegetable, but you want as much flavour extracted into the soup as possible. Obviously, these vegetables, pumpkins, even leeks, are going to thicken the soup when you puree the mixture. So you need to cook the vegetable for long enough to be soft to puree,
mm-hmm.
but you want to preserve its freshness and get the maximum flavour. So the more slices you can produce, the more surface area. So mandolin means you can very quickly get lots of thin slices. It's not so bad if you're doing something like onion chopping or leek chopping,
mm-hmm.
but pumpkins they're quite hard vegetables, so you can cut it with a knife. It's fine. It's just a little bit more hassle.
We have to be honest and say that this soup that we have in front of us here was made by a Woman's Hour producer.
Yes,
I'm gonna name her Lucinda. It went slightly wrong. She poured 40 grams of balsamic vinegar and sesame oil into the soup without tasting. Now, you do say in the instructions to taste.
Yes.
What should you do if you're making this?
Add it to taste. I think no matter through this book, there's lots of advice on technique.
Yeah.
and measuring things. But at the end of the day, the whole beauty about cooking is about taste.
Well, you actually say that chefs, cooks, which most of us are cooks at home, don't put enough salt in, or at least don't do it frequently enough.
Yeah, making soup's a really good example of a test you can do for salt levels. So let's say you've made your soup, take the pumpkin soup, mm-hmm. take a little bit of soup out and put it into a coffee cup or teacup, and this is before you've salted it. Then add a bit of salt and stir and taste, and keep adding salt until you get to the point when it's too salty.
And then?
Then you'll know where the right level of salt was. Because I'd say the home cook doesn't salt their food as much as a professional cook. Now, I'm not advocating chucking
lots
loads
of salt
in
no,
food.
No, of course not.
But I'm saying if you want to make something delicious and you want to get to the sort of seasoning levels that a chef would get to, then this is a really good way to know how far you can push it. And then you can decide to cut back on the salt. If you're going to eat this regularly, don't put as much salt in.
With this recipe, you suggest that the milk is infused with rosemary, which means basically you take the milk and you put the rosemary in it and you leave it there for...
It depends, 10 to 20 minutes. You can do a quick infusion. What will happen is basically when you put herbs in a hot liquid and you heat the liquid, the longer you leave it in the hot liquid, the more you'll develop new flavours. So you'll lose your very volatile fresh rosemary flavour and you'll get a more cooked flavour.
But you could just put it in at the end.
You can just bung it in at the end. It depends how complex and how strong a rosemary flavour you want. So you can whack it in at the end as well. And quite often what we tend to do at the restaurant is we put herbs in liquids early on, cook them with the liquid in, and then do a last-minute infusion as well.
I'm nervously twanging my spoon here. We need to taste the soup, because there's an interesting addition. Well, I thought it was interesting. This kind of hazelnuts and breadcrumbs. Now, what's that supposed to bring to the party? Pumpkin party.
You've got the sort of brown butter.
Yep. Which is, what is brown butter?
You put butter in a pan, cook it till it starts to colour. Brown goes all nutty. Mm. And then you add that to the soup. So the nuttiness then is accentuated by these roasted hazelnuts, and rosemary hazelnuts just taste delicious together. Mm. And you've got more rosemary. Again, you've got different levels of rosemary in here. As you said, you can whack the rosemary in the soup at the end, but having this around the edge of the soup, so when you take a spoonful, you just drag the spoon across your powdered hazelnuts.
It is actually an amazingly good combination. Mm. I think she's done an all right job here.
Do you know what? I think she's done a good job. Considering, after the secret, she did say to me just before I came on that she was slightly hungover and heavy-handed with the balsamic vinegar.
I think you must have mistaken her for something else.
But then she very, very impressively roasted more pumpkin. It tastes delicious to me.
Your new book is called Heston Blumenthal at Home. And the truth is, Heston, most of us, you get home at night, kids are coming in from school, they've eaten 15 crackers and a couple of unsuitable other additional snacks. Are you really going to start getting your digital probe out and cooking one of your sorts of recipes? We're not. We're just not going to do it, are we?
It's the same. It's the same as talking about anybody's cookbook for day-to-day cooking. I'd say that I understand that we all live very busy lives. You get home, kids home from school. There's a lot of stuff to do. They're very busy. So you're not necessarily going to start cooking a recipe from scratch. However, the real call for this book is, there are lots and lots of simple recipes there, but the call for this book is about the techniques. So if you're going to cook a piece of fish, for example, people say that the good way to tell a great chef is the way he cooks fish. Fish is really simple to cook, but it's actually quite difficult to get right.
Do you need a
thermometer?
Right.
Yeah. Now, digital probes sounds really scientific and very complicated.
Well, nerdy, isn't it?
It's just a metal spike with a reading on the end of it. You stick it in the piece of fish and press the button, it'll tell you what the temperature is. And if you cook your fish to, say, 50 degrees each time, you'll have perfectly cooked fish.
There was a tip in the book as well, I think, about cooking steak. You might not be able to afford a really expensive bit of steak. Who can at the moment, actually?
Yeah.
How can you make an average bit of steak taste better?
Couple of simple steps. Firstly, you buy the meat from supermarket and it's very fresh. It hasn't been hung for long enough because it costs money to hang meat, time, and the meat shrinks, so you lose money on the price per weight. So take it out of the container, put it on a cake rack, leave it in the fridge for a couple of days. Now, you don't have to do this, but this will age your meat. Then make sure the meat is at room temperature before you cook it. A pan of oil, smoking hot. Most people don't have the oil hot enough. You can put salt on the meat, but don't pepper it before you cook it.
Yeah.
Because the heat will scorch the pepper.
Can you speed up the tip?
Yeah. Then, very important, then you put the steak in the pan and flip it every 15 seconds. It only takes 2 minutes. Just turn it every 15 seconds. You get a beautiful crust. It's evenly cooked all the way through. Take it off and leave it on a cake rack to rest for 5 minutes before seasoning it and serving it.
Okay, Heston, thank you. Can you speed up the tip, she said desperately. We've had a hitch, would you believe it, on the Woman's Hour homepage. And at the moment, the recipe isn't there, but it will be later on today. Heston, thank you very much.
Thanks.
For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.